Happy Friday. Welcome to our August meeting of the Executive Committee. I would like to call our meeting to order. And Gene was due to lead us in the pledge, but he's not here. Do we have another volunteer?
Sure.
Hey, Rachel. Okay. So stand if you are able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. On to roll call.
All right. Charlene is absent. Meredith is here. Jean Hernandez, absent. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Rachel Owens.
Here.
Sandy Stain.
Here.
Dave Tenslaw. We have quorum.
Thank you, Dave. Do we have any public comment? Thank you. All right. Session items. Our plan to present our OAC 2024-25 goals and objectives for the Board of Supervisors. So hopefully Charlene will listen to this recording because she's the one that wanted to talk about this in more detail. We do have our five meetings finally set for our group to go see the supervisors. Okay,
I just to be clear,
sure,
for clarification.
Okay, so the first two are on September 11th, and then the other ones are spread out.
Okay.
But I can go through my emails and I'll send a list on the BCC for all
that
of
would
you.
Be great.
Okay, so they're all going to be in person. We're going to be meeting with Supervisor Wagner. And also Supervisors Foley and Sarmiento, and then Supervisor Doe and Supervisor JP declined to meet with us, and they're having us meet with staffers. So that's kind of the update on that.
Is Doe in question? No.
Like he's through
is
the end of the year, through November.
Is he going to be forced to resign?
I don't know, but we're meeting with a staffer anyway.
Okay.
Yes. So that'll be good. So logistics, I thought that Rachel, if you, or maybe Elizabeth, I can't remember. Can someone send me the final so I can make copies?
Of the goals.
Thank you. Yes. So I will be the one that brings the copies for the, I'll bring, you know, probably like three or four for whoever's in the meeting, the supervisor and their staffer. And then how do we want to go about meeting? I'm used to doing this, so it doesn't make me uncomfortable to think about these meetings, but Charlene wanted to kind of plot out who was going to say what, I think.
I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it's necessary.
I think that, you know, generally in these meetings, we introduce ourselves. Yeah. And we
have sure ever been to one of these meetings?
I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it until today.
Are all of you going?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going on the 11th because I.
Well, most of us are going to most of them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And the 11th is with who? Is that Wagner?
Wagner.
So Wagner, and I think that's Supervisor Stowe's staffer. I can't remember. I have him on my album.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Wagner's at 10.
Okay, let me go to my calendar. I'm completely converted to not writing anything down, all electronic. Okay. Yes, we're meeting with Supervisor Wagner at 10:30, and then we're meeting with Supervisor Doe's staffer, Hung, at 11.
Is that enough time?
Yeah.
I think the one thing I would like to just circle back with or to ask staff really is we're obligated to produce a annual report to the supervisors, or is it, and what is that annual calendar?
OAC's annual report.
Yeah.
Do we leave that in the bylaws? Yeah, I think you left it, right?
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure we did. But if that is the case, then it would be up to your discussion on how you want to put it together, what you want to include.
I understand, but what's the timing? Are we on a calendar
We are on the calendar.
We are
yes.
on the calendar.
Yes, we are on the calendar. Okay. Yeah, it would not be following like fiscal year.
So maybe we want to do that in November. Either November or December, but we're dark in December, so that's a little hard.
Then we just always have a check in.
We don't have to have it ready until January, even February. But my question to Laura was, what was, so if we're telling them these are the goals, we talked about these in 24-25, and we intend to come back and present you with an update in our annual report to you to show you what we feel we have managed to accomplish, again, where the shortcomings are. Right. And I think we have big asks here in our desirable resources. So I would want to see if we get any buy-in for those. It, you know, we've got the information brochure being revamped. We're hoping to have a PowerPoint presentation that our members can use in the senior centers. We're talking about how do we expand the database and the outreach to seniors in the community. But we've also wanted the board of supervisors to think in terms of creating a public service campaign about these resources that are available. And we don't have any buy-in from them for that. So that's what I would think the purpose of conversations with them would be.
That's perfect. Just write that down and read it.
Well, it is more or less right here, right?
It's what you have in your goals.
It's
and
what we have in our goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's what we're there to talk about, but it's that last, when we accomplish these things, what are we doing here? The other thing is we've had a very subtle change in purpose, or at least the outreach of this committee to the senior community. And I think we need to talk a little bit about that as well, from the standpoint of, since we're not doing the breakout meetings with specific presentations every month, we're really looking to have this group be an advisory to what the Office on Aging is doing. And when we get to the conversation around the transportation, that I would flesh out my ideas or my thoughts there. But I think, again, that's the purpose of the meetings with the supervisors is utilizing this group of very extensive community, not activists, but certainly there's lots of knowledge in that room, and we are not utilizing that knowledge correctly, and that is something that as a committee we're looking to achieve.
I think that we definitely want to, you know, the point of meeting with electeds is to share information, but then also to have an ask. So I think that we really want to focus on those asks, and then we'll find out what they say.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. The ask is the big,
yes.
They're in charge of purse strings.
Mm-hmm. They're in charge of and it could take 2 or 3 years to get a public service.
At the annual report, I'm still focused on that. I always thought like Elizabeth. Sorry, not Elizabeth.
Molly.
No.
Yep.
Elaine. I always thought that she went to like regular meeting of the supervisors and presented the report, because. Not saying this is right or wrong, but I remember she used to always say, no, I go to that. I go present. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. So is that something that has to be done that way?
No.
Okay.
And it wasn't effective.
I agree. That's why I was wondering, you know.
I don't think that anyone's tracking this annual report, but we all have different personality types, and I'm not a type A. I'm more of a type B in a lot of ways. So I think that after we meet them, we can talk at our next executive about what occurred. And then they really only want one page. So
right.
We're going to take the points.
I'm going to take the points.
And we're going to say what did and didn't happen.
That's actually in the bylaws I was just looking at. Yeah. I think there is some language. So in the bylaws, under purpose and functions, there's section number letter C, that the commission shall submit the county an annual report no later than the end of February of each year, that includes recommendations to improve the lives of older persons within the scope of county services, and a summary of its activities for the previous year. So this would be like your goal, right? Your goals, objectives, and identifies the commission's priorities for the upcoming year. So that kind of gives you the outline of, exactly. This is what
I think personally, it's okay for us to switch over to saying that we're disappointed about some things not occurring in this letter. I don't think we've done that in the past. I think it's always been forward-looking. I think that we can say is we're concerned. Yeah. Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you, Claudia. And thank you for those points, Rachel. Any other discussion on A?
But yes, what are we asking? Are we asking a dollar amount, or are we asking them to buy into a campaign to help promote all the different, what is the ask? What is the direct ask that we can mimic to every single supervisor?
If I may, because you haven't presented the goals yet, correct? This is purpose. The purpose of the meeting is to go and talk to them and say, this is what we want to work on. So you don't want to immediately come and say, this is what we want, and they're just hearing it for the first time. So this is like having open-ended kind of conversation with them in, here are our goals, this is where we would like your, you know, seeking your support and your buy-in and things that we want to look at. And that can open up in some discussions about what would this, you know, information, awareness, what would that look like, kind of get their take on that too. That might give you some insight in kind of what direction you want to come back and have like additional discussions on how to do that. It is kind of hard like to go initially. And plus, those are the things that we would want to also discuss with you too on, well, what does that need to look like?
Right. I think in our last meeting, we had asked you to kind of look at a marketing plan or start thinking about that.
Yeah, I think we need to definitely have a discussions on it, on inventorying what we currently have, how it's done, what that process looks like, so that we can then help figure out what would this marketing, if we're calling it campaign, what does that really need to look like, right? And then we definitely should have that. So I think for the purpose of your now presenting, given that you have, you know, a small 30-minute windows with them, is really going down your goals and what you're trying to achieve now as the older adults, you know, commission, and what you want to work on and getting their take on that.
That's not usually how I handle my meetings with electeds, but...
Well, I think it's, I think that's a fair point, but I think it would be prudent if we said, we are going to ask you for a financial commitment, but, you know, we will present that in our report to you in February.
With my sales background, you always ask for the order. Always ask for something. Because if you don't ask, why would they offer? So I disagree with you. I would go in and make my goals, and then I would ask for the order, whatever it is we, not all of it, but something, so that you're asking them for a commitment. Mm-hmm. And there's a two-way communication, but you're remiss as a salesperson if you don't ask for the order.
I think part of their role might be working with Dylan, I suppose, or whoever they liaise with, on directing him to look into this and have staff come up with a budget. I don't think that we're going to be budgeting.
No.
That's a good point, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's where it comes to us to say, what realistically, you know, what does that need to look like? Because, yes, the process will be the supervisor.
Yes. Exactly. So that's, I think, a good ask is, we would like you to direct staff.
Yeah,
to look into this marketing campaign and actually flesh it out and have it be audacious and aspirational, not
right. Yeah.
To circle back, remember the area plan goals have inform and educate communities,
yes,
coordinate service delivery partnerships, and ensuring quality of services. They told you and Jean their goals were information access, aging in place, transportation, and expanding care. We've come back and defined a little bit of that.
But we're not going to talk about those three different things.
No, right now. I'm just saying that marketing piece goes around all of this.
Everyone thought that was a good idea.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so how that marketing awareness, and even arts program, information yeah. program is, how do you get buy-in from all the areas that would touch the community yes. you're trying to yes. work with, and certainly the marketing area that's making decisions about what to promote, how to promote, and when becomes a piece of this. That's the absence. Right? Yep. Back to how do we get this information into the hands of the community? And
I think that the other thing that we want to share is that every time we do have a guest presenter here, they all identify themselves as a hidden gem.
Yes.
We want more people to use our services. People don't know about our services. We heard about that for veterans, from the Caregiver Resource Center. Yeah.
Look at the percentage that Eric Hensley gave for the
right.
veterans.
Yeah.
That was just, to me, amazing.
Yes. And we have all these people that need help, and we have all these programs that would like to be more impactful, and that's where that marketing comes. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other discussion on A? Yeah.
Is that going to play into that memo that I sent you? I came down today.
Well, I'm going to have to talk about that during my share report.
Okay.
I'm getting better at
our.
All right. So then we wanted to talk about new member recruitment and orientation. So it seems like things are going well, Sandy, and we're getting really positive feedback. So thank you for working with new people.
Good.
But I had heard from you that there was a lag in certain people getting the packets.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk more about that because I didn't know the details of that.
Well, when I talk to the new people, the first thing that comes out is I haven't heard from anybody and I don't know anything. So I don't know if we can get the packets out quicker or.
So how do you get to them before their packet gets to them?
Elizabeth gives me their name and information, and then I call them and I say, I'd like to speak with you. And the first thing that always comes out is I haven't heard from anybody, so I don't know anything.
Are these the people that check off the I'm interested box?
No, they're the
new members.
One was and one wasn't, so I can't say that. No, one was and one wasn't. No, but that's the comment that I keep hearing from everybody. So there's something in our lag time that's too long because they feel like they're not hearing from anybody.
So let me ask this: so the gentleman that cash that we're approving or whatever today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he's approved. What's the process? Once we approve, and then what happens? Do you immediately send the welcome packet, or do you, Sandy, pick up the phone and call? Like, what happens first after we?
As soon as Elizabeth gives me the information, I call them and email them.
Okay, so you get the information after.
Well, who's sending this welcome packet?
Our admin team.
Our staff.
I'll look into
that. I wonder why don't you send the packet since you're more connected with us?
It has to be streamlined. So our admin team handles all of the ports across. Not just ours. Yeah. They do all the packets to everybody.
Correct. All the communications. Yeah, administratively. But Sandy, so you speak to them when they put in or express it. There's a couple times you're talking to them. Is it when you
just
did an application?
Just once.
Okay.
And after Elizabeth's really good at saying, here's a new member, a potential member, whatever it is. And then I just go ahead and assume they're going to be in the group. I mean, I don't know if they are or not, but they don't turn to my people, right? So I email them and call them both and say, I would like to speak with you. And they usually say, oh, thank you, because I don't know what's going on.
That's before you've had the action item.
No, sometimes it's after we voted also.
And sometimes it's after.
It's all of the above.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
How long does it take them once we've voted to send out that packet?
I have to look into it. Marie, do you have?
No, I don't have it.
Yeah, it's usually our other two staffers that send out the packet. So I'll look into the process.
Is there a cover letter that goes with that?
No. It's just the packet, the welcome packet. The email has information on there as to when to submit their packet and how
So I was just wondering if when that is sent out,
Well, maybe there should be something in our system where we could just acknowledge we've received your interest, or I don't know how we want to say it, because I think that's where the lag is.
So they submit something, and then all of a sudden, a month
later, and then it's like, quiet. Hey, and they just assume everything's gone away and they forgot about me. So I think that, I mean, I know they're not in the group, but maybe you could just write a letter and say, we've received your interest, blah, blah, blah.
The process usually takes.
Yeah, and the process takes 3 to 4 weeks, but we'll be in touch with you.
And then you'll be receiving, if approved, you'll be receiving a welcome packet from us. And then, you know, Commissioner Sandy Singh will be talking to you.
Right.
Is the procedure different from an open enrollment versus one appointed by the district or appointed by the supervisor?
No,
not necessarily.
Because we don't necessarily get the paperwork.
Correct. If it's an appointed, like a board appointed position, right? Right. So that process will be the same as soon as we get notified, right? Or we see it on the agenda that they're appointing a vacancy.
Whose agenda?
The Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors agenda, when we see it, then we'll know if approved, right?
Okay.
If all goes well, then we'll be expecting a confirmation of appointment or a letter. Usually it's a letter that comes from the clerk of the board. And then that initiates our internal, okay, let's send them a packet, let's send them an email, welcome, all the things that, you know, we need back from you.
But that's
the part that I'm trying to gauge.
Like
Sandy speaks to them. Yeah, I don't think we have a process really established. What I'm trying to do is just be more responsive and quick online, you know, like, hey, we got this person.
Which is really good.
But I think now what I could do is I can really sit down and look at the process and try to figure out what works best.
There's also a glitch about me being informed when new people are going to come to the meeting too. I had asked for them to start sending me an email, and that's not occurring.
Well, you know what? I do have that on my to-dos to notify you that we need to do a formal introduction. However, there's been a lag in receiving the welcome packet, so I'm not sure when their first date is exactly. But I feel like once we sit down and really flesh out the process, I'll become a little bit more fluid. But this is good, Sandy. I really appreciate the comments, because this is what's going to help us really.
Yeah, it's just too much quiet time, and they just assume that everything's gone away and they've forgot about me.
Okay.
That's the impression I've got.
And certainly it would be proactive of us to encourage them to attend as a visitor the next meeting, or here's the
point.
Here is the calendar for the next
meeting. So maybe if you send a letter acknowledging you see their interest, and oh, by the way, our next meeting is X date.
We would love to have you as a guest.
Please feel free.
Come as a guest so you can observe what goes on or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would work too.
So let's keep that. I'm going to circle back so that maybe we can hear back from you at our next executive meeting.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. And then senior citizen outreach and liaison discussion topic. I thought that it was very helpful for people to have that question about their advisory committees that seem to spur on discussions. Howard said that he's going to encourage the San Juan Capistrano to reinitiate. So that's exactly the kind of thing that we want to see happen, so that people are involved at every level. I wanted us to have a question for commissioners to think about for the next month or two. And one suggestion that I have is for us to encourage everyone to ask their senior centers, when seniors need help that you cannot solve here, where do you refer them to?
So I have an idea for it.
Okay.
The Lake Forest, our senior advisory board, we were asked to go visit numerous senior centers, and we were given a list of questions.
Oh, excellent.
And the questions were also provided to the board of supervisors, and they were told that we were coming to ask. So some of these questions I think are pretty good. Some of them might not like and it will help you in the future. But one of them that I thought of, and I don't know if you think this is valid, but most of the senior centers have a newsletter. And I was wondering if we should ask that question, if they could bring a sample of it. Because in the newsletter, there's a lot of information of what's going on at the center, about the presentations, classes, all the good stuff. Some people may not be aware of that.
And that's why the recap that you've been doing has been so successful. At least in my,
it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Very wonderful. Is that has gone on my liaison is for the city of Irvine, and they have added it to their electronic newsletter. So that's one of the many things that is in their electronic newsletter. And I don't have feedback quite yet because we've only done two so far, right? But
encourage them to add us to their newsletter as well.
Just add a office on aging.
Yeah,
oh, really?
For more resources, you know.
So that would be a good way of putting that too. We were to ask that question, if you think it's valid.
The other issue that comes up here is that those senior centers that do not have a committee, so Lynette approached me last month and said she's working with Westminster and she's got a roadblock with the director, and they dropped their senior advisory committee during COVID, and she's a new director, and the director doesn't know who to talk to get it put back together, and there isn't any support from anybody at the city level for her to get that done. So I did volunteer to go with her to the city manager and see if we can't get that program revitalized in the city of Westminster.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know that she's had enough nerve to do that outreach quite yet, but it is important. But then I want to circle back to our goal of having a presentation about resources that are available, or that PowerPoint presentation. That would be something tangible that our member could offer to their senior center. And you know that again, we don't have that resource yet, so they can't offer that. So we know we've got some glitches here, but certainly with the Office on Aging, part of your goal is to reach all the senior centers that are operating in the county, and we're trying to help with that. But as we get to these issues, we don't really know how to get to the next step necessarily. So.
Everything, several people called me that were new and they saw written report. We just want to say it's verbal or a discussion. We're not looking for a written report.
A written report on what?
On the question that we're asking about the senior center.
Oh, verbal report?
Yeah,
oh,
verbal or discussion. However you phrase it.
Yes,
that's
the
what
directors don't have to.
Lynette.
I actually wouldn't. The question that I'm proposing, when seniors need help, how do you connect? That you can't solve here, where do you refer them? I would like us to ask that to the front desk people.
Yes.
Oh, in the senior.
Sam,
yeah.
Talking about when we're in the general case, everybody thinks they have to write a response instead of just providing a verbal.
Yeah, like it's a discussion.
That's all she was saying. That's all. But yes.
Yeah, I heard that from a couple of people.
You did too. Okay.
They're the A students.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
You saw Barbara's
yes.
report, it was two pages.
Yes,
and she was really panicked about it. She did all the it's a discussion. We're not turning in reports. So how do you want to phrase it?
Well, it's under discussion.
Yeah.
I'll say the friendly reminder,
yeah.
Just letting them know to take a look at the agenda because there's a discussion item.
Yes.
It's just a verbal report.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If you're able.
Or you better have a college rule, three whole pages.
Side-on format.
Like yellow paper.
So your question was what? Say it again.
And this would be for the front desk, not just for the director. And seniors need help that you cannot solve here, where do you refer them?
It's good.
I think
it's normally a volunteer.
I know, right? That's who someone's going to buzz by.
Ours is.
Ours is. I think that
ours was a. I don't know if that makes a difference. Huntington Beach, when we interviewed them, they're all volunteers.
But I don't know that that matters.
And the city of Burbank has its own
center
for resources and information in this.
We still, are we not just calling it Iceberg? I'm sorry.
Well, in my opinion, a lot of this is beyond our scope. I can see how it would be good senior center to senior center.
But some of it's good information. Like one of the questions we were told to ask was, do you have a nonprofit section in your senior center? And several of them do and several don't. Then that opens up a whole bunch of doors because Newport does. Mm-hmm. And then that's how they do their big sale in October and raise money and then use that money for different funds. Our city said we didn't want to do that because then it's a whole other department you put together to monitor a nonprofit.
Yeah, you got the automatic now.
But I didn't really mind because I didn't see anything that we were really missing.
Okay.
So I didn't really mind it.
Like the way it's currently established.
Yeah, the way we're doing it now, I don't see a whole lot of stuff we're missing.
I guess I don't see this as an icebreaker. I see this as us getting information to bolster our case with the goals.
Exactly. And I still see it as we should be experts in our senior center. You should know everything about your senior.
Well, that depends if you're working or not. If you're in a city far away.
No, with a lot of that, you can get on the phone. You can go on the website and look it up. It's education for us.
Yeah.
So we know. No, you have to always physically go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Lynette can't get the lady to talk to her in person, so she's just talking on the phone. I said, Lynette, it's just like sales. You just got to keep working. You just keep working. Be the best and just keep calling her and have a questionnaire, go and look on the website, and you just keep going, and eventually you'll break her. That's just the way it goes.
Go out last year.
Yeah, that's the way sales is.
That is chomper. Jingle.
Hey, I call on some buyers.
Your activities.
Like, call on some buyers.
About what you have.
I call on some buyers and all they want to do is throw you out the door. That was their whole objective. How can I throw you out?
I always brought donuts.
When I went to each city that I traveled, I would read the newspaper, the local paper. And I don't really care about sports or any of that stuff, but I would read the headlines and I knew what the topics were. And that's what I would go in with. And I'd look in their office and see what stuff they had.
Right.
And when I was in Tennessee, the stuff was orange because it was all about their sport.
Yeah.
And that's how I would leave with my sales call. And I had people with me and they're like, why are we talking? I said, just watch.
And then you get your report.
And then you get in, you get your report, and then you have your
test. Yeah,
that's why then it's a memorable experience too. Because then they're gonna be like, person either you have our sports team and not be one.
Exactly. And she didn't understand it at all, but she knew all about it. That was my big funny. I don't even know what they're talking about. They would just take off and start talking about it. I'm like,
people like to be connected, right?
They do.
Yes.
They love it. You've got to connect with them somehow.
Yes.
And discussion point in the agenda for the major meeting is for us again to identify some places that we have a bottleneck of some kind, right? We have a director who's so new that has no background in, wouldn't even know how to go about getting an advisory committee or...
Remember, they have their association too. So they, if they wanted to, they can ask their colleagues.
But some of this isn't their background or their training, what she's alluding to. This is just foreign to them. They just put them in this position.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to make sure they get by with what they can.
I wonder if it's more of a personality type that I could be wrong.
Well,
that's for us to identify where we have some bottlenecks that we could help that community be more effective with their
I think that for Lynette, maybe a great
to ask about that, like Lynette attending Westminster. I'm not very, very familiar with the structure at Westminster, but do they have a Parks and Recs? Like they, because they normally have, then they're that division director, if that's who she's, do we know who she's going to talk to, or
we
just the city manager? Oh.
We don't know.
If they can go
through. What she told was told. Particularly in Westminster, was that they used to have an advisory council or committee, and she just had no idea how that came about, and the director
the
didn't know or anything.
She tried reaching out to me and city council members.
Probably not, because she asked me, what am I supposed to do about this? How do I help?
I think that we should try to find a SCAC or a OAC member from Westminster. That would be what I would do at the senior center.
Talk with her about that next month.
someone that lives in the city that attends a senior center. That would probably be more powerful than other city folks coming in.
I have a somewhat cordial relationship with Amy Fan West, who is on the Westminster City Council. Now, that city council is a mess.
Having a lot of trouble.
But I can reach out to Councilmember West and just say, you know, can I connect you with one of our commissioners who's trying to, you know, get the senior center, Westminster Senior Center, you know, some help, some assistance, some, you know, whatever.
With resources that are coming out of the office.
And the council member may have an idea for a member from Westminster.
There you go. That's even better.
Yeah.
Well, the funny part, and then I'll drop it, was Lynette said when she called and got the answering machine, it was a Christmas message. Oh, I shouldn't say holiday. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh.
Yes.
No, I went their way behind.
That was nice of you. But
nice try.
This is August.
No one's up.
So very fine.
To finish that,
Amina did update the assignments to include the newest members we've been assigned, and that's nice. And I noticed you sent it up yesterday.
Yeah, so that's another part of this whole little new member process. When people leave and when people come, we need to update that.
Yeah.
So Mina from someone needs a list of people coming off and on.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have all these little things to iron out, but it's good. I think that we're getting on track. Yeah. Okay. The next on to six action items, OAC appointments, recommendation to review and approve membership appointment of Cash Benton to OAC for a term ending December
31st,
2024. Discussion?
The only question I had on the application is I don't need specific age, but you know, is he over the 65?
No.
No.
He's
okay.
Not.
So he's.
So he works for, sorry, have you done?
Yeah.
The WellQuest Senior Living is.
That's his prior employment. Now he's with the Physical Services.
He works for the Covington. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He works for ACS.
Do we still have, we used to have, and it's not important to me, but there used to be something on there about. Are you over a certain age, like 60 or something? And I know we've got a lot of younger people coming in. Did we drop that?
I haven't worked on the application.
Well, that's what I was asking.
It's not in the bylaw. Okay. So then it's not important.
That's why I was asking, because the age was not stipulated.
Yes.
Do we ask it?
Yes.
Like
we
ask
do.
That.
You
what
do
it does help more is members that come from the senior community. We're beginning to fill some of that, which is nice. So we have Cass, we have Beth.
LaBelle had to resign.
LaBelle, I saw him resign. Yeah.
So he should be ready to watch.
Yes, okay. Yes, I know him, and I was telling him about permission, and he said that he would like to play. He did, and he did.
Good. So there's a motion and a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Successes. Welcome, Cash. So now we can try our new process.
Yeah.
You write it up first.
Give Elizabeth 24 hours.
You're not done with it yet?
No. You've got 5 business days.
Yeah. Oh, I can let him go. So. So for the chair report, I wanted to talk about a couple of opportunities that we have as commissioners to talk about aging services issues with the larger county. The one was the OCTA coordinated plan for transportation. I asked Elizabeth to send it out to all commissioners. So thank you so much for doing that, Elizabeth. I would suggest that we put this on the agenda for our next general meeting to talk about this plan. And encourage people to read it. It looks like a large plan, but it's a beautifully crafted document. So It's not as long to read as you might think, right? Yeah, you can peruse it.
I did read it. Well, no, section three is about focused on teachers. So I took my AI program and I asked my AI program to consolidate and create a report about section three of the report. Essentially, it's a one piece. Now, it's really a regurgitation of some of the sections in the introduction. Mm-hmm. So that was quite useful.
Well, I'm not able to discuss it today, so maybe.
Having it on the agenda, I mean, we really should. This is one of our goals, is to comment on this report prior to the draft being finalized. So I don't know how we go about that finalize, but.
Well, based on Eugene, I've asked if they're going to comment. They're considering it. And we can comment as individuals. I don't think that, unless I'm wrong, I don't think we comment as a commission.
Correct.
Yeah.
Only because of the deadline. It's the 6th, right? No, 9th? No, the 6th, I thought.
Did your AI tell us when the deadline is?
I didn't print. If I'm not mistaken, I know, I like Googled it. And so, the deadline is before your next your meeting. So you'll have to do it.
Well, people have the opportunity now. They've received the document. If they choose, they can write an individual comment. I would have a request for you, Claudia, if you can share your comments with us at that meeting.
Yeah, it's on our to-do to review. To review it and assess for what is the appropriateness of placing comments. Or
I think it would be super appropriate.
So we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, great.
For us to comment on the senior pieces. And there is an awful lot of strategy and information.
Yeah, I thought it was a great document.
Yeah, it truly is. It gave a lot of insight. So.
Especially about coordination.
Yeah, and implementation. I thought it was a worthwhile document to look at. But like a lot of things that come out of these things, there's an awful lot of aspiration for coordinate, find funding, do a better job here. Okay, at least we're doing something.
That's where it begins. Okay, don't forget, also we have an opportunity to comment on the Orange County 2024 Strategic Financial Plan. So, Elizabeth, do you already have that one? Did that already cross your desk?
I'm sorry, which one was that again?
The Orange County 2024 Strategic Financial Plan.
Yes. We have that.
Can you send that out also?
Sure.
Thank you so much. So that commissioners can look at that. I don't know when that one's due.
I think they're just going to it's going to be ongoing. It's probably going to have everything.
Okay.
But I don't think they had specific dates yet.
So we can, at our next meeting, encourage commissioners to take a look at that and to make comments as they see fit based on their activities of the commission.
But they could only make comments as individuals too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
You better re-emphasize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a couple of supervisors are holding my meetings mm-hmm. and their
districts. I know the Sarmiento.
For the commission. So with the aging services issues. Okay.
This is just
Okay, and then the last thing that I wanted to add on my chair report is that Commissioner Charlene, sorry that she's not here today, but she did want us to raise the missing meals money situation. I emailed Claudia and Elizabeth. It's very
good. Huntington Beach.
What?
Huntington Beach.
For the county of Orange.
Yeah, but it was for the senior center.
Missing money?
Yeah. There's $4 million that was supposed to be spent on senior meals that is not accounted for. So the county is suing the nonprofit.
Nonprofits in Huntington Beach. That one, right?
I don't know where it is.
I think it
okay.
is. It's the one involved with Doe.
Yes.
Okay. So yes. There was a nonprofit in Huntington Beach that was given $4 million to provide meals during COVID. They can't account for where the meals, where the money went.
And they're no longer a nonprofit.
Daughter.
They're no longer a
They haven't filed their paperwork with the state.
Supervisor Doe's daughter, I believe, was
yes.
the director.
Yeah.
Well, no, I did read something in the paper about that.
Registers from HS additional information on it today. Right. So I think that the commission is obviously really concerned about this.
So.
Yes.
That's a little bit of money.
The people that didn't get help that they could have.
Yeah. And there was more than just $4 million
yes.
involved, but the other piece of that issue is the due diligence that the county didn't do
right
with the, because I serve on the board of serving people in need, and the audit that we have to do every year is quite extensive, right, and clearly lays out all of the programs and where dollars and cents were spent, and in fact our HUD allocation has increased that reporting, which is a freaking pain in the neck, and probably means that this our nonprofit will stop looking for federal dollars and continue to expand our private donations to continue our mission. But it is concerning that the kind of reporting that needs to be done from an accounting standpoint with this particular nonprofit was not being followed. And what's the point of what I'm saying here is that as we issue and review RFPs that come in to meet grant requests that are out there, maybe a better understanding of the nonprofit that is applying or responding to that RFP is indeed a piece of what we should be looking at.
But I bet the better.
Yeah. I just don't know the answer to that.
Right.
And that would be my concern. Sandy, am I making sense?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just very concerning. I mean, why? This is kind of late that it's coming up now, and it's probably COVID, and all of a sudden now it's coming to.
Because your tax returns and your audits come 24 months, 36 months after the close of fiscal years happen in some instances, not in all, but in some instances. And where I have seen issues with CBGB, I never get that right.
CDBG.
Thank you. One day I'll get it in my head.
We all know what you mean.
When I reviewed RFPs with the city of Irvine, you get so many applications from startup nonprofits who at some point in time don't understand what their reporting obligations ultimately or how their accounting has to be done in order to properly, so this just becomes a concern I have as we put out grants for projects and there are RFP responses, how do we, and one of our goals was to get more of our members to serve on those RFP review committees. So that's an issue I think that comes forward.
I know that Supervisor Sarmiento and Supervisor Foley have made a lot of statements on this.
They have.
Yes. Yeah. They're kind of leading the advocacy that this is not okay. We can't have that again. We need to have it fixed.
And how could it?
Right. Yeah. She says, yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
On their part.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been encouraged to see their statements on this. Okay. That was it for sure. Any announcements from you all?
I have a. I hope it's appropriate to do this. So last night I was at Leader City's Bumpa, and there was a gentleman there who is the Philip Franks, chief, the CEO of Be Well Orange County.
Yeah, Be Well is amazing.
And he has big plans for Irvine over with the new campus, but he was specifically really hopeful about adding a portion for seniors.
Awesome.
And so I asked him, do you work with the Office on Aging? Have you worked for this session? He said, no. So I didn't know how we could connect with him or reach out to him or just at least start getting a conversation going. Because, it looks amazing. The whole thing looks amazing, but this specific part about they were going to offer stuff about like adult daycare, elder abuse resource stuff. I mean, every service that or trying to, you know, be able to streamline whatever he wants to
house in one place.
House in one place and collaborate. And so I don't know what the next step is in order just to get the conversation going. Obviously, it's going to be a couple of years, but I would like to share his contact information. So
he'd be a good speaker.
Well, yes, from a holistic, you know, LOC, but I don't know so much about just specific to seniors, because he's saying everything we're saying here, and he's also talking about there isn't one number. Like, he goes, you can call 211, you can call this, you call this, and it seems like it's all fragmented. And so he's definitely, he'd actually be a good member for this, is what he would be.
Oh, or Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really want to get him involved, and he seems
that's a great idea to get him or one of his leaders to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be so. Do you want to take a picture of him? That's the first thing. Second thing, for our school district, OUSD, I don't know if this is going on all over the school districts of Orange County, but I'm sure if you know, right, anything, the city of Orange is in a lot of financial trouble because they have like a $10 billion deficit. So they're cutting a lot of programs. And one of the programs they're cutting is the Crossing Guard program for all schools. So the principal at Villa Park High School approached me along with the resource safety officer, Sheriff, and said, don't you do something with older adults? And I said, yes, I'm with Villa. So what would it take to be able to have maybe the Office on Aging help coordinate or direct some sort of volunteer program with older adults that want to be crossing guards? And so I think the sheriffs actually train them. They're the ones that provide the training so that they can be certified and know what to do and laws and whatnot. But they don't know how to get the people. They don't know where to go to get
find the volunteers.
The volunteers. So yes, you know, obviously talking to our senior center in Orange or whatnot, but on a larger scale, is that something that the Office on Aging could connect or liaison, or, you know, do you guys have some sort of program like that now? Is it something we can work with the Office of, you know, the Veterans, where there's, you know, veterans that are...
Would 1OC good resource?
I don't know. I think so. I'm trying to brainstorm.
They're the volunteer center for Orange County.
1OC. Is it... How come I don't even know that. I'm sorry. Like the number one or written one?
Written.
Yeah.
Okay.
They used to be the volunteer center.
And yeah, it just be called the volunteer center.
And so who do they report? Who are they? Like, are they
they're
just
a nonprofit?
Their own independent,
nonprofit.
Yeah, they're a nonprofit, but they do like a lot of, don't they do the RSVP program and things like that or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have a contact there? Do we know anybody there?
Carol Stone has retired since I don't have anybody.
I first contacted them, of course, because I did the same thing in Wisconsin, but they just never communicated back with me. But they will find volunteers to work with nonprofits, public entities.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have a senior section that I think it's now under AmeriCorps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's AmeriCorps seniors. Okay. And I think they're just off of the 405.
No, they are on 4th Street at 4th Street and 5 Freeway.
Okay.
I was going to say, I know it's pretty early on and we're still working on expanding our outreach through the newsletter. But if City of Orange has a flyer for recruitment, what we can do is we can add that to the newsletter and we can share it across the county and see. I mean, that's like
okay.
Easiest way that I can try to get the word out.
Okay.
Does the district, are they already actively like have something set up to, let's say there's 3 volunteers that come up, are they ready to take them on? Is it just early? I mean, discussion.
I mean, if there was somebody walking,
yeah, if there was somebody right now,
it's actually through the sheriff. So they just have to get certified through the sheriff. So the sheriff does the actual training, and then once they get certified, they can go.
Because of the hours, it have to be the early in the morning and the mm-hmm. late in the afternoon, and that's there's a lot of mature people, so they don't care for that. Maybe they do one in the morning.
Well, in the mornings are actually for our school district. The mornings are the because the school starts mm-hmm. out of time, but you've got the staggered place, so it's not as bad. And in the morning, you've got people going to work, and, you know. So these are suggested. I'll check and see if they have a flyer that maybe we can add. And then,
so for 1OC, I believe you fill out forms to get your volunteers. So they would fill out the form at 1OC, and then 1OC would give it out to their people that want to volunteer. And then volunteer matches what most people use.
I just, if anyone knows of any person I can actually, like, that'd be great. But I'll relay all this.
Yeah,
so.
Like a contact.
Yeah, yep, perfect. Thanks, that was it.
I guess on that regard, like with Be Well, Cal Optima Health, I was at their meeting recently, and they were saying that they've been meeting with social service agency and healthcare agency. And I said, do you meet with Office on Aging? And they said, no, not yet. So that would be another connection point as part of the Office on Aging's leadership role in advocating for seniors, because so many seniors do receive Cal Optima. Any other announcements?
I have an ask. Can't I have a name badge that has my name and just the Older Adults Commission?
Commission?
Mm-hmm. You know what? That was brought up a while back.
Yeah, and then we got the flimsy ones that didn't look professional.
Or at some point, a commission had.
Yeah, they all had engraved name tags.
Even visit card, too. But I know you got to do, 500?
$20.
So when you're attending,
yes.
Your commissions, what about?
Whenever you go to a senior
center. Senior center.
Yeah.
Let me bring that back.
Okay.
Let me bring that back because, of course, you know, we'll look at our processes, what would that look like, securing funding for it, all of that.
I think a lot of people would be willing to pay $10 or $15 of their own money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it's sort of embarrassing to go out to the senior center and
can't
well,
go
who are
our
you?
Own
well,
right.
And you don't have anything that I can
attend
you
with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People, I think people would be willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody.
Yeah.
That expense.
Right.
And maybe the elected center, right? We don't get a name badge because we have our name badge. So.
You have your name.
And I have a name badge that
It's more of a hey, if you'd like a name badge, yes, contribute $10 or something. You know what I mean?
These are not very expensive at all.
No.
Got the magnetic.
It has a magnet on the back.
That's what I have for like slashed. So I don't need one.
So Aline will show up to things with her big honker from like Office on Aging.
Dozens badges from organizations that I belong to, but specifically if I'm at a senior event or whatever, I'd like to have.
Well, it would have been nice if we could have one.
Yeah.
What was that?
You know, the
conference
we went to.
Oh.
You should
have
council.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to Debbie Baker since summer last night. She turned 3 hours back.
Oh, good. Do you guys have name badges when you go in public?
We have our regular employee, our employee badges. Yeah. And so if
that doesn't look very nice, like compared to this.
Right.
That's
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That looks like it lets you in and out of a door.
That's exactly what
it is
our badge, our identification that we are county employees.
Yeah.
Yes. So wherever we have to identify ourselves at conference, anything, that's what we use.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
would be the point of a name badge if you don't have your name on it?
Well, it says
hey,
the older adults.
I know, but it should have your name on it.
Oh, like as opposed to just saying older adults advisory commission, like actually having.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as you can use for everyone, you can just identify yourself as like an advisory commissioner.
I wish you could keep up line on.
Now you have to start. You're one of the cool kids that has one. So now
I should start wearing that.
You want a link?
Yeah.
Mine's
do you have
like
it, right?
No, mine's like size. It's like 2-1.
Well, see, you can start wearing that around.
Yeah.
Mine's standard size, not big honker.
we had badges for our salesmen. We had training and so forth. And so they would be wearing their badges. And we said, well, if you're going to go out and party tonight, just turn the badge around. And we had a different... name on it, you know, company name.
Your competitor.
The back to come tall.
Exactly. I'm like, you're no longer on duty.
To the grocery store, they're like,
I made that mistake before. I'm like, why does everyone know my first name?
I know.
Here.
That
happens a lot. All right, anything else?
I just wanted to give you an update on our speakers for the rest of the year. We have next month, early intervention services for older adults with Keith Wilson, health program specialist. And then November, we have as our community's age, help me with how to pronounce her name, Dr. Laura Trejo.
Trejo.
I thought so much. Sure. LA Aging and Disability Department.
What happened to the OCT?
It's on the next one.
9:13.
I forgot. Okay.
Sorry. My head's already gone because I just
inside.
My brain is like we're going back and forth of these two. It's me, my brain.
What about a representative from 1OC?
That would be great.
Okay, I think we do it. I just
that's a really good idea.
Okay,
Sandy, we have an idea for a rep from 1OC to come and talk about how.
Volunteerism.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything?
No, not right offhand.
Yeah, next
next year already, because we're darkened.
So if anybody gets any information on one,
let's look on LinkedIn. So I'm going to join the meeting. Thank you, everyone. Let's look on LinkedIn. I bet we can find someone from 1OC.
I'm not a member of LinkedIn.